Nurse's Station.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the 10th floor. It's me, Matt.
Hi, everybody. It's Kat.
And you're here. You're here. You got off the elevator. You look to the left and you can see, you know, those hallways and the walkways and, like, you know, a sign. And one's like, women's room this way. And there's an arrow. And then the other sign is like, over here is the OR. And there's nothing really going on. And then you look over to the right. And then you can also not really see anything that's going on either because everybody's in court.
It was a court heavy week, wasn't
everybody's got a hearing, everybody's got a trial, everybody's got to be there to watch said hearings or trials.
There was pre-trial. Yeah, there was arraignments.
Yeah. There was all kinds of places to plead your guilt or not guiltiness.
Yes.
You know.
Some people had an audience, loved ones and friends. Some people didn't.
Some people had press corps. Let me in.
Some people had the audacity to show up.
The audacity. How dare you be there?
The audacity.
And all of it, no matter what happened, no matter what was going on, all of it had Carly reading somebody ragged and giving them just the rundown. Mm-hmm. Just letting them know what she thinks. Carly has been having a terrible time recently keeping it to herself. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's a thing. It's a thing that happens, I guess, when you feel like you've lost a couple of things and you're still in a state of grieving. I mean, you can't just get over the death of Sunny in a couple of episodes.
Of course not.
So, you know, it's all connected, I guess, in the grand circle of what the heck am I supposed to do now? Especially since my best friend and backup husband, Jason, is in jail. Like, what am I going to do?
Man, what is she going to do? She'll lean on Jax a little bit.
Oh, my goodness.
Earlier this week, it was very funny. I was watching her. I was watching Carly and Jax have their have a conversation over the bar at MetroCourt. Mm-hmm. And she offers him a scotch and never pours him one. She has two herself. And never does give him a scotch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they never mention it, you know? It was just something just to watch. You know what I mean? And he never asked for it either. She offered it to him. He never asked for it, but she continued. She drank too. Which is like, okay, I know she owns a MetroCorp, but she's also an employee. You can't drink like that behind the bar.
Yeah, you can. When you own the place, you can do whatever you want. What are you gonna say? Oh, Carly's drinking again. What you gonna do? Go fall into one of her own beds?
If you were a regular employee, though, you would be fired for that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But you know what Carly would have to say about that? You know what she would say? You know, you're right.
What?
But I own the place, so I'm gonna do what I want.
Sure enough.
That's what she would say.
I just thought it was funny, though, that she offered him a scotch and then she had two herself and never gave him a scotch.
Yeah, and then after that, she'd be like, I own the place. I'll do what I want. And then, you know, like Cartman, like, I'll do what I want. And then after that, she'll say something mean, you know, she'll like throw something in your face. She'll say something like, you know, you could talk to me when you're not so drunk, you fall off the roof, you know, something weird like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what she would do.
That's how she is.
Oh, Carly. Someday somebody's gonna like, I don't know, man. Like, she's just mouthing off to Peter too, and like, I mean, the Gladys stuff was planned, you know.
Oh, Gladys and Valentine.
Oh, yeah.
Valentine was doing a good job playing her.
It's funny because it was funny to watch James Patrick Stewart play Valentine acting. You know, watch the actor acting, you know, because you can tell there was a layer of phony on his stuff with Gladys, which I thought was awesome. You know, well, that's enough right there, Carly. You know, just this poor woman right here doesn't deserve that.
Yeah, it was funny.
They're, whew. Anna's showing that her skill, I guess, as an agent, as a manipulator of the truth, to get somebody to this, that, come forward, flip-flop, whatever it may be. Anna's showing her skill there. Something I haven't really seen a lot, because for the most part, Anna does most of her spying on vacation.
Yeah.
You know, Finola like Hughes will be like, oh, I need to take the summer off. I'm going to be in Africa trying to find some sort of rundown criminal. Something, you know.
Yes.
You don't really get to see a whole lot of her actually being a spy and doing spy work.
No, you're right. Most of the stuff she does when she's at home is has been involved around the fact that she thought Peter was her son, and then she found out that he wasn't and all that stuff. Yeah. And her
digging
romances.
Through papers.
And her romances.
Yeah. Occasionally, they're, you know, like Finn and Anna ran off once and got like kidnapped by Cassandra Pierce and had her bust out of that. And it happens on occasion. They have some sort of action set piece because she's a secret agent spy. But like a sting, a setup, something like this, they don't really approach a whole lot, I don't think. And I think it was fun. It's been fun. You know, and then Valentine and Gladys, and I do enjoy Gladys as smarmy and gross as she is. I do like what she brings to the stories when she does show up.
Okay, that was another part that was just, you know, the action of the scene was her playing with her lemons and her water and her ice and acting like,
oh yeah, putting her whole hand in the glass and taking the lemon out and squeezing
like
it.
She was from some podunk place that has no table manners whatsoever. Not that she chose not to. She's just never had them in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, she's, you know, two, three drinks in, and Valentine's clearly just still sipping on his first one.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun, and I'm curious and interested to see where that's going to go. I don't think that they're going to necessarily fall in bed together, because that would be gross.
Okay. You know, no, I don't think he will. Actually, I don't think that's Valentine's style. Really,
Gladys is going to want it though.
But you know, Lisa and Scotty in bed this week was enough, wasn't it?
Oh, come on, cat, come on! It's going to happen. It's unavoidable. Tension was just too thick between the two of us. You don't understand. You weren't in the room with us together. You didn't feel what we felt.
Oh, Scotty.
Scotty
Baldwin. I'll respond the way Bobby always did. Oh, Scotty. You can't help being a fool.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, we called it from the very beginning. We knew that was going there. Yeah, no, we did definitely called it from the very beginning. We said as soon as Dr. Kirk fell on his small knife, he fell on a small knife. ever since the first time, you know, he did that, we've been like, okay, so this is obviously a match made in heaven. It's going to happen. It's just too. Boats passing in the night, and they're gonna dock together for a couple of weeks, you know, like it happened.
It was hilarious too. And it sounds like they're gonna do that again.
You don't think it was a mistake or anything, do you? do you what? Nine. Oh, well, me 9-2. Oh, no.
Oh, Matt, you make me laugh too much. Matt, before we go any further.
What's up?
It's our anniversary.
It is. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Is it the paper anniversary or something? You write me a note?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know either. Last week we told people to give us stuff. Yeah,
it's our first anniversary.
So yeah, we did it. First weekend in April was our first podcast. Hey, look at us! It's the first weekend in April again. We did it. Sure. We made it a whole 12 months, and all of you people came on this wild ride with us. as we started to break down General Hospital just as it was about to stop.
Actually, I would love to know, you listeners out there, I would love to know, have any of you been listening to us from, you know, near the beginning?
How long have you been tuned in? I mean, someone has to have been listening to us from the very beginning, not just us.
Boy, I would love to know that. If you guys would take a moment.
Tweet us. Or email us, you know, 10thfloorgh10thfloorgh. That's where you can find us. I think at this point, you could pretty much put 10thfloorgh in Google, and it'll just come up with all this stuff.
Probably.
It'll come up with the Facebook. It'll come up with the Twitter. It'll come up with the server page that hosts the podcast, so you can listen to it on your browser in case you don't have access to your phone and need to listen to it or something like that. Just Google 10th floor GH, 10th floor GH. And you can also email us at that thing too. Let us know, absolutely. How long have you been listening? What was the first episode that drew you in? What was it that drew you in, or did somebody tell you to listen? That's something I'd be interested in hearing as well.
Yeah, all that.
Recommended? I mean, I'd recommend us just because I want people to listen.
Yeah.
It's an ego thing, not really a talent thing, you know? Yeah, that's how I feel.
Anyway.
Yeah, what's
happy up? Anniversary to us.
Yeah. I'd have a slice of cake later and take myself on a fabulous walk somewhere.
Well, you know what, Matt?
Yeah, what's up?
It's too bad that you didn't get to come home because I made banana bread all day today.
You made banana bread all day today.
I did.
it's going to be okay. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of people that is going to eat that banana bread and love it just as much as I would.
Yep.
Everything's going to be sure okay and all right. It really is. What do you think the Corinthos clan does for Easter, you know? You think they're like hiding like a 1,001 eggs for Wiley to go find over the course of 8 hours so they can go and have conversations in the den over the drink tray while someone else raises their kid?
Yeah, maybe that. I don't know if I've ever seen an Easter egg hunt on General Hospital.
I mean,
I can't recall that I ever have. They used to do a 4th of July thing in the park all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to continue to do that, but Luke used to always start all the fireworks.
Oh, did he? Okay. So Yes. Maybe that went away when Luke did.
I don't know if they still do a park thing or not.
Yeah, the park is only used when they feel like they need to mix up the sets a little bit and for Christmas now. You always need to have that stroll through the park with your hot chocolate. You want to get some hot chocolate from the cart? Every year. Let's just go into the park and get some hot chocolate and talk about this. Yeah. You know who's not going to get any hot chocolate in the park and go on strolls anymore and all that kind of stuff? I'll tell you now exactly who's not going to be doing that.
Who's not?
Curtis and Jordan.
I believe
Curtis
that you're
is realizing
right.
that his new life is not going to include her.
I think so. And you know what, though? Perhaps if when he did go to her house, go to her apartment, and maybe if Taggart hadn't have been there, that visit would have turned out differently.
Maybe. I don't know. But if it would have, it didn't. And sometimes I guess that's just what happens when it comes to the affairs of the heart. If it doesn't catch when it's supposed to catch, then it does. I don't know. It's also still fantasy television, which anything can happen.
I think Jordan and Curtis are done.
Yes.
I think Finn and Anna are done.
Yes. Yeah. There's still officially some question in the air when it comes to Curtis and Jordan. Even TJ was like, so you guys bringing divorcing up? What's happening?
Yeah.
We splitting? Or should we not sit you next to each other at my graduation? What's going on with that?
Yep.
And pretty much, you know, and then more Porsche talk and all that stuff. And there was just this look that Curtis gave at the end of one of the conversations. Just something that was just like, it just to me felt like, no, Jordan's not going to not going to take her with me on this. It's just kind of what I feel like he's feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's getting close to opening up that club, and Laura seems to be on it. You know, Laura's the mayor. She can't, like, push that liquor license through a little faster for her friend?
You would think she'd be able to, but that's not really the way it's supposed to work.
Well, I mean, is that really, like, an abuse of power? To be like, hey, can you just process that application, please? Is that an abuse? Maybe she needs to improve her government structure a little bit so these things don't take so much time.
Maybe. Laura?
Maybe you need to go back to the drawing board when it comes to some of these services that you're running. Some of these licenses that you're supposed to be giving out. Is there something more efficient that you can be doing, Laura? Maybe if you were actually...
Don't pick on Laura Weber.
Maybe if you were actually elected to be the mayor, maybe you'd be doing a good job. Maybe if you didn't cheat.
You're a cheater.
If you didn't cheat to be the mayor without knowing.
Oh,
if you
gosh,
weren't,
Matt.
If you weren't Spencer Cassadine's puppet, his little power puppet that he put in charge of Port Charles to pull the strings up, you know, maybe Curtis would have his liquor license by now. Maybe. The BCPD would be able to find somebody that's in a neighboring state that is interacting with people that only know other people in Port Charles.
I'm going to reel you back in now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I going?
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to reel you back in now. So, Matthew, what do you think of all these unusual pairings? Not really pairings, but accomplices.
Dangerous liaisons, as I called them on Twitter. It was fun.
You know?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, only fun things can happen when Carly and Valentine have to work together, right?
I know. Carly and Valentine have to work together.
No.
Carly and Anna have to work together.
Yeah.
Oh, Brett and Anna have to work together.
And Anna. Oh, the scarecrow. Oh, man. Jason Morgan killed my Franco. No, it was Peter. Oh, of course it was Peter. Like, it took no convincing. No, it was Peter. Oh, of course it was.
Yeah. So, it's been fun to watch these these folks that aren't even necessarily in scenes together that much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you don't really see Carly and Anna in scenes together.
No, you see lots of Carly and Jason. You see a lot of Anna and Jason, but you don't see Anna and Carly, and they're having to cooperate with one another.
Yeah, yeah. And talking to each other like they know each other.
Yeah. But it seems like there's so many different plans.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
For Peter at the same time. Everybody has a plan.
Yeah.
Maxie has a plan, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Her and Brett have a plan.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
They
got a plan. Anna's got a plan.
Anna's got a plan.
You know, they're pulling Obrecht had a plan up until the point where Anna pulled her into her plan, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Robert kind of has a plan, you know, plan to try to get Jason the hell out of jail.
Yeah, doing his best to, Robert's in that precarious position, though, because all the evidence points to Jason Morgan. What am I supposed to do? Just throw him out on the street and say, it's okay, mate, you didn't do it. Like, I couldn't do that.
But Jason didn't get let out.
No. Robert was like, hey, man, it's cool. Just, you know, we won't do bail. He's going to be fine. He's never, we're on a TV show. Where is he going to go? And the judge was like, nah, screw that, buddy. He's going to jail. Like, what?
Yeah.
Robert kind of was like, hey, I can't, like, not fight for bail. That's weird given the circumstances. And then he didn't fight for bail. And guess what? The judge was like, hey, that's weird given the circumstances. I'm going to go ahead and just impose this bail.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, sometimes ask the DA to do something like that. Maybe.
So Jason's on his way to Pentonville.
Yes. To hang out with Sean.
So is Alexis.
Oh, I guess so, huh? Three years.
Three years.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to get some, like, Pentonville stuff, some real Pentonville stuff.
Maybe we're going to get some Pentonville stuff.
Yeah,
so this Alexis is going to jail, too, and she's going to Pentonville. And Nancy Lee Gron is going to be gone for a little while.
So she's also taking a break.
She's taking a break. Yes.
Well, you know, hey, it's okay. People can take breaks.
She has a loved one with a medical issue that she needs to be supportive for.
Okay. Yes, that makes sense. So, yes.
She's taken a little, she's, that's why Alexis pled guilty.
Right.
Really.
Yes. Okay. So she's taken some time to care for a loved one in need. Well, that's nice. That's nice that she's able to do that. So cool. And, you know, it gives Alexis a little bit of a break. It does. And it's always good. It's good, people. It really is good to allow these characters to just have some time off for a little while. That way you can kind of forget about some of the stuff that you don't like and really revel in the stuff that you remember loving. And then when they come back, you can be excited about it and something is fresh and new and they have a story immediately. And it's just sometimes it's a good thing.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, you know.
So what is and Taggart. And Taggart got let out of jail, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So two were going to jail. One got out.
One got out. So, yeah, we might have some Pentonville stuff. So that's fun. You know, a number of characters are going into it. So that's cool. A number of characters are already, you know, there. Like, you know, there's Brad and Ryan. Right? Ryan's there? Mm-hmm. No, I guess Ryan's in some sort of facility now. But Brad's there. Sean's there.
Sean's supposed to get out.
Well, now that's a bad time for that. Like, what? Okay.
He's been gone for a long time. I'm excited for him to come back.
Yeah, I don't know Sean at all. I know missed him entirely.
Watching at the time. I know you weren't really watching at the time.
No, I missed him entirely.
I'll tell you what. He was kind of the boyfriend, kind of a friends with benefit to Alexis for a period of time. They had the sexiest, sex scenes.
What is it? I think that you're attracted to Nancy Lee Grand because you just love her in bed with these men's.
She's very good at that kind of scene without being icky.
You can feel the passion coming off of her. You can feel the connection, the realness, the sexiness. She's able to help you engage in the moment.
And I don't know if they're ever going to go back to do anything like that post-COVID. I don't know.
I mean, post-COVID, anyway. I don't see why not.
Anyway, I'm excited for Sean to come back. I always enjoyed his character. He is TJ's real daddy.
Yep.
Unless they do a flip-floppy again and decide he isn't. I don't know.
You're like, oh, no, it was actually Cyrus. Oh, excuse me. I made myself sick there for a moment. Ugh.
Ugh,
nasty.
Cyrus.
Ugh. Cyrus doesn't have any kids that we know about. Because that's a good thing.
Oh, no, but I bet one pops up.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Especially if he sticks around. And it seems like, I don't know, they seem to have positioned Cyrus in such a way where people aren't like, God, we need to kill him, you know?
No.
So he's like relatively safe.
He was something else with Carly this week.
Carly's something else with everybody. They're just everybody's something else, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You know what? They really are building up this tension for this 5 family meeting because I feel like everyone's going to show up for it and there's going to be a lot of confusion and chaos.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be like Carly and Michael and Cyrus all show up and then like Ned's there for some reason because it's like, I heard there was a meeting that Sonny needed me to come to. It's going to be weird and possibly dangerous. And
oh, I think so. I think there's going to be drama post this, of course.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been watching a lot of Rockin' Dead, so I've had some free time, so I've been catching up on that show. And so I just get the feeling like this is just some sort of setup from Cyrus to just off them all. Just get rid of all the 5 family heads and just be like, now I'm the king. What are you going to do about it? I'm Cyrus Renner.
So what did you think of... Do you think Laura's being too harsh on Martin, like uninviting him for Easter and everything?
Um,
Or do you think Marty needs a break? Or is he really, like, is he got a dark, dark side?
Dark side? I don't think that Laura is being too hard on Marty. I think that Laura jumped into the deep end before realizing what was in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of stuck her foot in her mouth a little bit. I don't think that... Finding out that Marty was involved in Julian's absconsion from town is, please don't come to Easter worthy, in my opinion, especially since he's the one to plant the bomb that put Lulu in the coma and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, she shouldn't have invited him so quickly anyway without having a better sense of who he was.
Yeah, I think she just got wrapped up in the warm and fuzzy for a second, didn't she?
Yeah, and they kind of said it at the thing, too, where, you know, she's like, I you're right, we just don't know each other. You know, we just don't know each other, and, you know, but that's what this is for. And I don't know, I mean, rocky relationships, things happen. I'm sure there's plenty of other secrets in Marty's past. He's been a criminal defense lawyer for a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe not criminal defense, but he's been... a lawyer doing lawyering things. And when he came into Port Charles, he wasn't all that scrupled up. You know,
he isn't.
Defended some terrible people.
Just like, for instance, when Valentine came to Marty with his concerns about Brooklyn and the baby, Marty immediately just tried to figure out a way for him to get out of obligations.
Yeah.
Not, you know, just so automatically.
Just going to go ahead and give a settlement to the mother.
Yeah. Just, you know, just automatically thinking that the worst character kind of thing that Valentine could do was the first thing he should take care of.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was the first thing. One of my clients come to me saying, oh, I've accidentally made somebody pregnant. I wasn't intending to do this, so give them $50,000 so they just leave me alone for the rest of their lives. What he's used to hearing from his clients. But Valentine's like, no, man, anchor that stuff in goal. I want to make sure that I can, like, go and see that kid whenever I want. Like, sue the pants off of him so I can, like, be a dad. But after that, though, after peeling away that first gut-wrench reaction to do kind of like the wrong thing, to separate yourself from it, his next bit of advice was, how about you just don't be the bad guy this time, Valentine? How about you go when you try to make some real amends?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, he's a great character. Martin Gray. Gray. I mean, we still haven't addressed the tip-tap, tippity-tap-tap-tap in Kentucky shoes. That's true.
That's a long time ago now.
Yes, it was a long time ago, but the same storyline is still very much in play. The exact same storyline is still going on. So it could still
come up. Just hasn't been resolved. It's been put on a back burner to explain it.
Well, I mean, the kidnapping, it was still has some unanswered questions and some loose ends, but the story itself that they're telling with Cyrus Renault is still the same thing. He's still out of jail. He's still a kingpin with the veneer of good. He's still trying to establish and maintain his control in Port Charles. They are still telling the same Cyrus Renault story. It has not been concluded as of yet, and it won't be, I don't think, until he's removed from his position at General Hospital itself.
I don't think so either.
I think that's going to be. Unlike
Peter. Everybody knows Peter's a jerk.
Yeah, everybody knows that Peter's a jerk. But I think that Cyrus being removed as the chairman of the board from General Hospital is going to be that event that would call this particular story of his finished. And then anything after that would be Cyrus's second tale in General Hospital.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, at least. That's what I'm saying. Whatever.
But definitely at this five families thing, some craziness is going to go down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. There's going to be some stuff.
I think so.
There's going to be some offers. There's going to be some threats. There's going to be some things said that maybe we're going to regret the next day.
I think there's going to be progress. Too many characters there.
There's a lot of characters who at least have expressed interest in being there.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I'm going to see a surprise.
Like the whole five families are changed now, and it's just like somebody else.
Like, you know, Cassandra shows up in the meeting or something.
You and Cassandra Pierce.
Well, maybe.
You love her.
She was interesting. She was very bad.
She was very bad.
Very bad. Very bad. Yeah. Very, very bad and very, very crazy.
It does take a very special type of villain to poison a melon while someone's on vacation and give them the super flu when they come back. It does take a special kind of crazy. Absolutely.
She was crazy.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Absolutely. You know, so it is springtime and love is in the air. We posted not only one, but two gifts over the last 2 weeks regarding romance and love. First one, you know, you guys played whatever. Sorry. That's all I'm going to say about that. But the second one, hey, you know, lots of fun. You know who I want to see? You really, you know, honestly, you know who I think would be a very interesting pairing on General Hospital that I do think would be super fun in all of the right and wrong reasons at the same time.
Who is that?
That is Ryan Chamberlain and Heather Weber. Okay? Like, come on.
We've mentioned it before on in the last month or two.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And I think it would be just the juiciest nonsense to watch, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I just want it to happen. I really do. I think that it would just
like spin off each other like two tops.
Just oh man,
just like the craziness that would ensue.
It's like when two black holes get too close together, they just start to swirl around and nothing is safe. I think it would be super, just super. It would just be super. And, you know, the actress who plays Heather Weber is just always super fun, too. What was she on? She was on when Franco was trying to figure out his lost memories as a child with Drew, right? He was going through and asking him.
Yeah, I think that was the last time we saw her,
yeah.
You know. And she was the one that implied that there was a twin of Jason. She just didn't say the right person, but she knew it from the beginning.
That's right.
Because Susan was her cousin.
Right.
And she was actually there when Jason and Drew were born.
Gotcha. Yes. So she did know about the two babies and then the separation. Mm-hmm. So. But she's also Franco's mommy, right? She's Franco's birth mom. Franco's mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Heather Weber and Scotty Baldwin are his parents, right?
Yes.
So that means her little boy son is dead.
Yeah, and her other one's dead, too.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Stephen Lars.
Oh. Hey, GH fans, look up Stephen Lars. So if they wanted to include her,
could. But that would be super fun. That would be super fun, especially for them to be like, you know, I don't know, hiding out somewhere, plotting something. I don't know. It would be funny.
See, you know, they find out that Heather Weber has broken out of prison, and then we can't find her. And they think that she's trying to hunt down the killer. Hey, you know what? Actually, Jason's going to jail, and isn't that where Heather is right now? Jason's going to jail for the murder of Franco.
I don't think she's in regular jail. I think she's in some kind
crazy
of...
crazy person jail?
I think she's in the high security mental... place.
Well, maybe they can cross population. Maybe they move. Maybe she lives.
She's real slippery. She can get. she escapes sometimes.
Well, maybe she can slip out. See, you know, here's the real deal. Here is the real deal, though. The real deal about it, though, because if they bring back, if they do a Heather Weber thing, right, and she's slinking around, she's being all nutso and stuff, it's gonna be so hard for me to not call her Janet the whole time. It really is, because they're pretty much the same character. Come on.
They are. They're very, very similar, and yeah, they do kooky things.
Yeah. So it would be very difficult for me to not be like Janet from another planet. Heather Weber, fictional character. I'm trying to find the actress's name because we're talking about her a lot. Alice Grant. No, that's Heather's mom. I'm sorry. I'm just.
I don't remember her name either, Matt.
Robin Mattson.
There you go. That's her. That's her.
General Hospital, Santa Barbara, and All My Children.
Children.
She played Hope Bauer on Guiding Light in 1976. What else did she do? Her very first Emmy Award nomination was for playing Heather Wepper on General Hospital.
Huh.
She covered for the actress who played Delia Ryan on Ryan's Hope for a little while.
Huh.
Linda Gibney on Santa Barbara, all those Santa Barbara fans out there. Janet Green on All My Children from 1994 to 2000. Janet from another freaking planet. Just freaking nuts. Just bonkers. Just out of her mind.
And so funny. Just like when she's funny as Heather, too. I mean, she's, yeah. She is.
Let's see. Robin Mattson. Is she related to Sophia Mattson? Probably not.
I don't know.
Because Sophia Mattson plays Sasha.
Oh. I don't think so. Because I heard Sasha on Steve and Bradford's podcast, and she didn't say anything like that. I would have remembered it.
Oh, she definitely would have said so if she was related. Sophia Mattson with two S's.
Oh.
The other Mattson has one S.
You are correct, and I think so two there G's. There you go.
Not related. Boom. So, yeah, we know that they are not related in real life. So, hey, look at us always uncovering the truth right here on the 10th floor. You know what we are? Amazing detectives. We should go work for the PCPD.
We could just buy Curtis's business, huh?
Yeah, well, we'll just slide in there and start working with Sam, you know? Sam you never go. Has time. Sam's not going to have time to go solve anybody's problems, so we'll go do it.
No. No, and then we go work with Spinelli, too.
Hey, just call Spinelli, get him to get into the bank account. You know, that's all we have to do. And then suddenly it happens. Like, you never even really have to make the phone call. You just have to tell somebody, oh, we're gonna get Spinelli on the line. Or also, if we just say something like, oh man, I just talked to Spinelli and he said that the guard changes at 4 o'clock, then that puts it in reality, right? And the guard will change at 4 o'clock regardless of whether or not I actually had this conversation. That's how powerful Spinelli is.
Mm-hmm. So did we cover all the court?
Well, I mean, not really in any detail. I've been doing a lot of spinning and tangents because I'm in a funny, funny, weird mood today, Mom. in detail, Alexis had a lot of internal struggle and conversations with people who were telling her to do very different things.
Yeah.
But ultimately, she decided she needed
something different than what she actually did, which was plead guilty.
Except for Valentin.
He was just more indifferent than anything else. I just want to support whatever you decide to do. But he wasn't really tried to convince her either way.
No, but he...
And he didn't...
But he did support the decision that she was making, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so did everybody else by the end. But they were just, you know, it was just clearly known that, hey, we think you're making a mistake.
Valentin was absolutely right about it, though, you know? Like, Alexis needs to feel punished for this. Otherwise, she's going to continue to drink. It's really that simple, people. Like, it's because what's become evident to me is that Valentin clearly knows how to read people very, very, very well at all times. And what has happened is he has stopped using his reading people superpower for evil, and he has started to use his reading people superpower for good.
Oh.
He understands exactly what Alexis needs to go through in order for her to have her recovery. He knows that she needs to be punished, feel punished for what she did.
Because that's the way her personality works.
Yeah. And then also he's got like a whole lot of respect for like women's rights and all that kind of stuff too, with how he's dealing with Brooklyn. You know, he's like, you can make all the decisions you want about this child up until it's born. And then I am now a very heavy factor in it. It's just, it's very progressive and just reasonable, you know, it's just like, he understands how people work, you know, and it's obvious.
They didn't have Brooklyn on this week, did they?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they did any quartermain drama. Mm-mm. All they just had Michael drama. Michael's the only Quartermain. He's the one who visited Jason. You know what he said? I'll go to that meeting, Jason. Don't worry. I'm going to handle it. Who else is going to do it?
Yeah. And he's been to a five families meeting before.
Yeah. I heard. Yeah. He said so. He said, there was a time Dad was out of commission and I had, you know how he goes. I need to work on the Michael impression. Okay. I don't impression Michael a lot. Because he's just white bread boring. He's not boring. There's just nothing to really accentuate for an impression.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like there isn't for Jason. You can a little bit for Michael because he stammers when he's serious.
A little bit.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. Snappers, you know, but there's nothing like really. I mean, there's no Scottyism, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Or a Martyism.
Well, I mean all you got to do is just try to be Colonel Sanders just for a moment to be Martin Gray.
And you've even got Cyrus down.
Well, I guess they're easier to make fun.
Yeah. And what did you think of Sonny this week? You know, Matthew, my tide is a-turning on Nina a little bit.
Now you're getting mad at her again?
I'm starting to get mad at her again because now it's just not right what she's doing. It's just not right.
What changed?
It's not right.
How did it go from okay before to not right this week?
Well, because now, you know, she's starting to plot a little bit.
In what way? She's trying to leave town and they keep on roping her back in.
Well, yeah, but she should know that, you know, going to this going to some chili cook-off dancey thing with Sonny is...
We did discuss this, Ma. We did discuss the fact that Nina was going to start falling for Mike.
Yes, but now I just don't think it's so obvious not the right thing to do for Nina.
Okay, well, yeah, here's the thing, though. Okay, so it knowing everything... gosh. All right, so there's two ways to look at this. There is... our way, I guess, kind of the outside looking in, where you're like, oh man, how are you keeping this person away from the life that he has led? How dare you keep this person away from the family that he has chosen? How dare you keep this person away from all of the memories of everything that he's ever done? But then there's also Nina's perspective, where she is seeing Sonny lighten up, have fun, show heart. Dance,
have chili,
do all of these things, and in her opinion, have a much better life than what he had been having before.
That's the problem, Matthew. The problem I see coming is they are going to create a story that's just their own.
Yeah.
By going to this stuff, and there is going to be a genuine romance because he does not realize who he is and the genuine romance he already has. And, you know, even though he and Carly are about as damaged too as you can come to when it comes to their relationship. But at the same time, they are a super couple.
Yeah. I mean, this is definitely not going to work out for Nina in the long run.
No, not in the long run. Not in the long run. But. No. The story that she allows to happen, because this currently really isn't his fault.
No.
Sonny's.
No.
The more story she allows to unfold, the more memories she's willing to make with this man, when she knows it's a facade, makes her more not a good person as she goes along.
Well...
vengeance can't be an excuse forever.
And it's not going to be an excuse forever. The reason why she didn't tell Carly immediately was vengeance. Her entire thing was to be like, all right, well, I'm just going to leave him here and never mention it. Just be done. Yes. Just never say it. If he comes back, cool. If he doesn't, whatever. I'm not going to be the one that did it.
Right.
And to Nina's defense, also, every time she walks into the Tano, she's like, all right, I'm leaving town tomorrow. And then there's somebody that's like, oh, no, wait, here, do this.
Well, yeah. You know, and she's this Elijah, he ain't got nothing good to have. He ain't got nothing good to say, Elijah. Yeah. And I think that Sonny's going to wind up having to rescue her from him in some capacity.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe something very, you know, just stopping the conversation between them as he becomes too chummy to having to actually physically do something.
Do something. Yeah, I'm not sure. But yeah, no, the writing's clearly.
Sonny's got to rescue her in some capacity when it comes to Elijah.
Yeah. So, it's going to happen is what it is. It's just what's going to happen. And I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm just always going to have a special spot in my heart for Nina. I don't know what it is, but it's...
Well, at some point...
I guess I can understand. I can't necessarily agree. Okay, I don't agree that it's a great thing that she's doing. Okay, I don't think that it's awesome. I think that she probably should at least point him in the right direction. If that's it, you know? Just be like, look at Port Charles and leave or something, you know? That'd probably be the right thing to
do. They should have a tour up with Port Charles just to have somebody find him. Anybody.
But I can also crawl into the headspace of starting to see this person not as Sonny, but as Mike.
Yes.
I can definitely understand that. I get it.
All of that. But that's all the more reason why she shouldn't be doing what she's doing now.
But we're not living it, though, so we can't make that choice. If we were living it, we would have different things in our hearts pumping, beating, pulling us in different directions, telling us to make different decisions.
Yeah.
Well...
But I do kind of enjoy watching Maurice be Mike.
Yeah, you know, it is a lot of fun. Just the dancing with Phyllis, jokes, the lack of the brood, the lack of the cloud that exists over Sonny Corinthos, you know? And I think that's what Nina sees, though, you know? Nina sees that and goes, this is better.
Does Phyllis need to be like this much of a matchmaker? Come on.
Phyllis really loves people. Get
your butt out of there.
Phyllis loves people. Come on. Phyllis sees... Come on, Ma. Be nice to Phyllis. What's wrong with you? She cares about these two people and she wants to see them happy. Nina's heart has been broken so much and Mike has no memories. Come on.
I know this is I know it's not Phyllis's fault.
This is not a perfect Phyllis. Match in Phyllis's mind.
You're right.
She's just trying to help her friends. But you know what though? You know what? She's just trying to help her friends. But you know what though, Ma? You know what we have noticed about Phyllis though?
What's that?
She always helps people and it doesn't work out for her.
That's true.
She helps Elijah, and now he's trying to take over the town. She's helping Sonny, and it's going to turn out all of this stuff. She tried to help she tried to help Nell as a baby, and wound up having all of that kind of stuff happen. And when she finds out that she has been holding Sonny Corinthos, keeping him away from the family without realizing it, and also letting Nina into the life and allowing this relationship to happen and all that kind of stuff. When all of this stuff comes revealed, Phyllis is going to feel terrible. And Lenny's probably going to be like, stop helping people. Just stop helping people. And that's not what we want out of the world.
No. But yeah, I think Lenny and Phyllis are going to wind up having things turn out okay for them, whether they stay or go. I think they're going to wind up having their... if they do have a departure, it'll be a happy one. And if they stay, I think they're going to be happy as well.
Honestly, it really depends on how much finding out the truth would affect Phyllis. If it makes her super, super sad and makes her think that maybe I can never help anybody again, she's going to stick around. Like, that's a story to continue. You're not going to send Phyllis off into the merry sunset having her go, well, I'm never going to do that again.
Right.
You know, she's just not that kind of character. She's likable. Mm-hmm. She's a heroine and like one of those pure characters too. She's just not doing this for herself. She's not doing these things.
No. And I think even when Mike Sonny realizes he's Sonny again, which he will someday, I think he'll have a special place for her in his life.
For Phyllis?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. You know, Sonny collects those people.
He does.
He does, you know.
He always has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just people who mean something to him.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, Robin, Laura.
Yeah. Stella!
And Stella, yeah.
Stella!
Where did she go?
Europe?
Yeah, I guess, huh?
Didn't she go to go reunite with her family and yada, 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 yada?
She's been back since then.
She's popped in for visits. I think she's just kind of coming through town. I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've never addressed who is this person she's related to in town either, which is Trina.
Well, yeah, it's Trina. So, you know, that's when that happens, I'm sure maybe Stella and Trina will have some scenes together. That might be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, baby, you're part of my family now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Aunt Stella's going to be here for you. I raised two boys. Two boys that weren't mine. One of them's dead now. The other one owns a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Oh, goodness gracious gosh. What else? TJ was on. That's nice. I always enjoy TJ. They're using him a lot more recently. Just even for little conversations, you know, just like the conversation he had with Curtis this week wasn't about TJ's problems. It was about Curtis's problems.
I think TJ's going to wind up maybe being at that club quite a bit.
I think so. Yeah. I think he's going to be helping out or at least there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Maybe not necessarily behind the counter, but if there is going to be a scene of TJ having a social encounter, it'll likely be set at that club rather than Kelly's or the Metro Court or something like that.
I don't see why not.
I don't see why not either.
Maybe Sean's going to wind up being there at that club quite a bit.
Maybe. Head of security. It just becomes like just an Ashford family business type of deal.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh gosh. I don't know. Oh yeah, they established that he's graduating now. So he's no longer going to be a med student, but he's going to be official Dr. Ashford.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. 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 No more residency, no more this, that, or the other things. He will be a member of the GH staff. Which is good for the character, you know, that elevates them to a different thing, different stories. They are now can be respected in the medical field rather than only relied on in the case of an emergency type of deal, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's all good for TJ. All good for TJ. We'll call that a character promotion.
He's going to see more of a grown damn man.
Yes. Yes. Right? A childhood will be gone and he will be a grown man.
Yes. Yes.
And now that he and Molly have gone through with the domestic partnership, that means that they are on the path to Splitsville. So.
No, soap opera land is just a fact. It's just a fact. People don't stay together. That's why you have your patriarchs and matriarchs of soap opera land have on the average been married to... Been married, by the time they're ripe and have been there a good long spell, they've been married, Erica Kane and all the others, anywhere between 5 and 8 times.
Yeah, you gotta get married. And half
of those times, typically, or at least a third of those times, is same to the same chick for the same dude.
Exactly. Right? You got it right on the nose. Right on the nose. That's exactly correct.
You're not supposed to stay together.
Yeah. Now, TJ and Molly, are they already a super couple in length? Sure, they've been together for a very, very, very long time, but they haven't broken up and coming back together enough for them to be.
And they haven't had enough screen time for that.
Yeah, they're not. They're not a supercharged couple. They've just been together a long time.
Mm-hmm. But they could be.
Eventually, down the line, sure. Why not?
Sure.
Come together, pull apart. Come together, pull apart. Come together, pull apart. Just like
They could be. Oh, gosh, what was her name? The Jesse and, you know.
Oh, Angie and Jesse.
Yes.
From the children's.
Angie
children's.
And Jesse of their era.
They could be. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. But I don't know.
They have a lot more drama happen to them. A lot more tragedy.
Well, of course.
A lot more drama.
Yes.
A lot more stuff.
Yeah. Yes, 100%. And there's plenty of time to do that because they are in their 20s and just starting their careers.
Yes.
So, plenty of time, plenty of time, plenty of time. And hey, do it. Do it. I like it. I like it. I like them. What can I say? What can I say?
Shiva. What is Matthew? Peter.
Yeah.
He had got the audacity to walk into court.
Yeah.
For Jason's thing.
Yeah.
For Jason's arraignment, pretrial, whatever it was. Right. He has the audacity to take his guilty butt and just stroll on in there.
Peter.
Oh, he's crazy.
Thinks he's invincible.
He is nutty as a pecan orchard. That's my southernism for this week, you guys.
Oh no.
I got a lot of them. I grew up with a lot of them.
It's nutty as a pecan orchard. Oh goodness. Yeah, I guess for sure. Peter. Oh, Peter, you're just gonna die. This is what it's gonna come down to. Somebody's gonna kill you.
Exactly. And they have set it up to be a classic,
yeah,
classic soap opera murder mystery.
Who
because
did it?
So many people, yeah, have got a plan.
Yeah.
So many people have got a motive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he is just seeing being so cross the line, not having an ounce of being remorse. No remorse to be found in that fool.
It's gonna be
he is right to die.
A classic. A classic murder mystery, a la All My Children. All My Children was so good at murder mysteries, okay?
Yes, they were.
You find Adam Chandler dead in a chair, and you're like, oh no, somebody killed Adam. And then you're like, oh wait, no, this is Stuart. Ah, crap, somebody killed Stuart. Oh no. And then Adam feels bad because he thinks he killed his own brother. But he didn't. Oh, it was somebody else aiming for Adam the whole time, but got Stuart instead. And it's so good like that. So good like that. So, Peter, yeah, man.
Peter is in the face of everybody. He got in Carly's face this week.
Yeah.
That was really fun to watch.
Well,
he got in Carly's face. He got in everybody's face. He feels no remorse for anything. And, pretty much is threatening everybody at the end of conversations now, too.
He's Heinrich.
He is Heinrich.
He's Heinrich. Peter's gone.
Yeah, it is. Peter is gone. He tries to be Peter when he reaches out to Maxie, which is far too often. But you can tell it's actually Heinrich playing Peter, not Peter. Right?
Baby. I'm going to leave you alone for the safety of our baby, so that maybe you and I can have a future together. I miss Nicholas.
You miss Nicholas? Yeah, Nicholas and Ava, we need to come back on.
Well, you know, I gotta make some room.
I want that little Spencer back.
What's yeah, well, you know,
what do you think the teenagers are going to do, Matt? They was teenager heavy on Friday.
It was. You know, well, I mean, and Thursday too, because Cameron was like, "Your father did this."
Yeah,
your dad is a killer. You know.
No. Oh, Cameron's overdoing it a little bit.
Oh, just a smidgen. But that's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Nobody's told him to pull it back yet. He'll figure it out. He will.
Jocelyn was awfully good on Friday.
Well, Jocelyn is Carly, okay? Like, she... okay, that's enough. That's enough now, Cameron. Okay, all right. So I'm not going to let you just continue to sit around and continue to say whatever you want. Little sad Cameron is no more. Like, that was total Carly. Mm-hmm.
That was Carly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little Carly Jr.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, so the time for sad little Cameron is done. that's Carly's words coming out of Jocelyn's mouth.
It was. Like, it was. Really. She was just little Carly. And I was all there for it. I loved it. I thought Ede McCoy did a fabulous job being little Carly.
Well, Jason, he needs to pay, all right? And I'm going to make him pay for what happened. I can't go anywhere until I know that Jason has paid for killing Franco. But you know, I mean, it's poor guy, poor rage filled, only knows where to put the blame in one person, and is super mad and has magnified it so much because he knows that Jason didn't do it deep down inside. And so the desire to see Jason get punished for it is unusually strong inside of him because he just can't simply think of anybody else to blame for it.
Well, I think Elizabeth is beginning to think there's someone else that could be having
that. That Friday sequence of her having the flashbacks to conversations and getting up to go like talk to Finn about it, I guess.
Finn heavy. The Finn and Elizabeth show is about to begin. Finn and Elizabeth have had how many scenes together in the last week? More like four.
Well, I mean,
the last 2 weeks,
like days.
Where
they had a couple of days together.
They didn't hardly have any before.
Yeah. Well, they come together in their time of grief. Listen, okay, male, female, grow. Okay. All right. I can't tell you you're wrong because you're always right. So you know, I'm just surprised that they might be pushing things in that direction so quickly.
I don't think it's necessary that they push it that way so quickly, but it does appear to be doing that.
Yeah. So, you know,
I don't necessarily agree that, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with leaving Finn and Elizabeth single for a moment.
Maybe they will be single for a moment, though. Maybe they're going to do this friendship thing for a year and then kiss.
Well, that could very well, you know, that is exactly how Elizabeth and Franco started. They did a push-pull thing for a long time.
They did the flashback sequence for that too. Yeah, Franco's totally dead. I found some interesting research and perspective online that I thought might be kind of true. Is the fact that there were just certain members of the audience base and certain members of just General Hospital, I guess itself, that just could never just ever accept good guy Franco. The stuff that he did when he was bad, no matter what the excuse, tumors, he didn't really do it, it was a trick of the camera, I didn't mean to have Michael get assaulted, that was an accident. Like, even though they tried to, like, gloss over all of the horrible things that Franco did, there's just a large member of the audience that just cannot get past it.
And they just can't go there.
They just can't go there. They just cannot see Franco as anything other than that guy that did all that terrible stuff.
To me, the worst thing that he did to anybody was making it where Michael wound up being assaulted in jail.
Yeah, and then he said
that was the worst thing, and he did other dastardly things.
Yes, and on the show, he is since after the tumor and all that kind of stuff has been like, I did not intend for that to happen. That was not the goal in mind. They went rogue and they did that on their own. Was the explanation like Franco didn't do that? That wasn't what he told them to do.
But he certainly thought that's what could have happened.
You know, because of your response right there, but he should have known, you know, there's elements of the character that people just cannot get past, cannot accept, cannot see as fun stepdad.
I was able to go there.
Yeah. You were cool.
I was. Yeah. Me too. I was able to go there. You know, it didn't, you know, even though I didn't forget about those things, I was able to accept him as a redeemed. I did.
And here's the thing.
But I wouldn't ever have been surprised if he had fallen off the deep end again, especially if he had been cornered.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that makes sense. And Soap Opera Confidential had the scoop. Who knows?
They
have
a podcast.
And I don't know if it's true or not, but they had the scoop that apparently Roger Howarth had pitched bringing Todd Manning back.
And he's got a dark past too.
And that's what the studio execs were like, okay, well, part of the reason why we decided to get rid of Franco is because of the negative press that he gets for the choices he made when he was at his worst. Mm-hmm. Todd Manning pretty much has that same thing going for him too. So it's really, really, really looking like he's going to come back to play Drew.
Yeah, it's certainly looking that way. Or I don't. Why can't it just be someone brand new?
Why be somebody new when you can be Drew?
That's true. And I think people will accept it. I think it will be feel a little weird for a minute.
Yeah.
But he did play Drew before. Mm-hmm. And I hope he plays it a little bit different.
I don't know. I mean, if it's going to be a long-term thing, I would think that he would probably approach it from someone that might have a little more color to their personality.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I mean.
And it would be completely, it would be a different situation too. He'd be in his own body. He wouldn't have.
Yeah. Be true, you know.
Yeah.
Not 2.0, but maybe 1.0.
Well, here's, I was talking to somebody on Twitter about this actually earlier today before we started cutting the podcast, because they had brought up this whole Roger Howarth playing Drew thing and how that would just be weird. If you're going to do Drew, just try to get Billy Miller or don't do it. Like, why go in that direction kind of was their, was their question. And my response to them, and which they liked and didn't tell me that I was stupid, which is a fun interaction to have on Twitter. So let's keep that up. And I'll have to review and make sure that I'm not a liar. They didn't actually get back to me to call me stupid later. Or somebody else online was like, "Ah, you dumbass. What do you know?"
Not internet. A lot. What's your point? Right? That's my response.
Yeah, right? Just scrolling on. It's that, so Billy Miller played Jason. You know, he was Jason up until like the last year.
Yeah, he was Jason for a while.
You know, he was Jason, and then Jason came back, and then he was Drew, but he was still Jason, though.
Yes.
He had all the Jason's memories, he had Jason's life, he was still Jason, just they were calling him a different name and he had a different job.
And he smiled a little bit more.
He didn't have the brain damage, but he was who Jason would have been if Jason didn't have the brain damage. Even with the same experiences that he had through life, even with having the same memories of everything that had happened to Jason before, he still turned out to be a very different person than the Jason Morgan that we know. So he was playing Jason. So the Drew that existed in this fantasy world out there has only been played by Roger Howarth.
It's true.
Full Drew memory of his path and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so flashback to Steve Burton playing him in like the army stuff for a scene, you know?
Yeah, I do remember.
But really the only person to bring Drew as he truly is to life has been Roger Howarth. So if you're going to bring back Drew, who has all of those memories, I think it makes perfect sense to use the same actor who has already played that character.
I agree. I think it would work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do.
I think so too.
Absolutely.
I think so too. And it's an interesting aspect too, because he would then now be Jason's twin brother, which is something that Franco had claimed to be for the longest time, you know. And and if we can accept that Todd Manning disappeared for 2 weeks and then Franco Baldwin stepped on and he had the same face, then I think that we can accept Franco is dead, and now Roger Howarth is playing Drew, you know.
I agree.
It's same thing with Michael Easton, too. He's played like three characters.
Yeah, he sure has. He sure has.
Yeah, so I'm with it. I'm curious. I'm excited to see what's going to happen, really. And I'm also excited to see some of these people that have been on for a long time take some of these breaks, too, you know? I mean, Alexis has really been on every episode of General Hospital I've ever seen, I feel.
Yeah.
Throughout my whole life.
She's taken herself a little break.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm all for it.
I haven't heard about anybody else. I know, you know, very often Jeannie Francis takes a break in the summertime.
Yeah, we're really not getting any of those this year, though, because they had such a long hiatus.
And Fiona.
Finola.
There you go.
Finola.
Yeah, she usually takes a summer break as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
We will. All we have to do is, you know what, tune in and watch.
It looks like Chase is going to forgive his mama.
He's working on it. He's working on it. He's going to be able to forgive his mom, but I don't know about anybody else. I don't know. Yeah, he can't go too quickly to forgiveness.
No, but he said he'd go. He said he'd go hang out with. He'd go hang out with Violet.
Yeah, we'll see.
They're supposed to have they want to have a family meeting. I think they need to go to family therapy, not just family like go to Denny's. I think they need to go to therapy.
Can you imagine that therapist though? All right, so go ahead and tell me about some of the problems that you've been facing as a family, okay? They just put their pencil on everything and they just start listening. So my brother had sex with my mom before she got married to my dad, and he's actually my dad, and I didn't know it until about 2 weeks ago. And my dad's actually my grandpa. Apparently my mom pretty much knew this the whole time. My brother was questioning it, and nobody ever said a thing to me. So really the only person I feel like I can trust is my grandpa? What's the therapist going to do with that? Oh my God.
Oh, that's a lot of facets and a lot of layers, doesn't it?
He needs Valerie Spencer's help. He just needs to sit down and have a long conversation with Valerie Spencer. last thing we can talk about, I think, because, you know, we are an hour and 10 minutes into this podcast, we're pretty much done. The last thing that wasn't even a part of anything that happened this week, but I want to see on General Hospital.
What do you want to see?
Is, can we, like, if Lucas is looking for another husband, can we not have it be freaking Felix? Can we, is it possible that Port Charles might have more than 3 gay people in it?
I'm sure they do, but that would require a different character at this time.
I mean, you know, but I don't know, man. Good job, Felix. People like you out there, buddy. People want to see Felix happy.
That actor doesn't get to come on very often, so it's kind of good in that way. Yeah.
Even then, when I did the Who's Your Port Charles Soulmate thing and flip through and all that kind of stuff, I did not include Felix because he's barely on. And people were like, hey, where's Felix? And I'm like, oh, sorry. I didn't know people cared so much.
Well, you know, like you said, you can't have too big of a file, and you don't want to...
No,
out some prominent pairing.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Whatever, it's fine. But yeah, and stuff. I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong. Let me pull up the Twitter, because I did put up that game today. Let me see if there's any notifications that came up while we were podcasting, and maybe any live questions we can answer on the air right now. Oh boy. Oh no. Nope. No questions. Oh, why isn't Elizabeth here? Son of a gun. Really? Really? Elizabeth isn't there. Thank you very much. She's in there with Finn. Okay. At Mary. Okay. Mary Levesley. You actually seem like kind of a nice lady. But the answer is because she is. She is in there. You just didn't see it. Keep playing. I'm going to tweet that right now. Live Twitter. Everybody listen to me live tweet. She is! !! Keep trying! !! Tweet.
That's how it's done, right?
That's how it's done, folks. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us once again right here on the 10th floor. It's been a wild week of General Hospital. It's going to be another wild week as we see Peter continue to spiral, as we see Jocelyn pretend like she's getting into a college that she's not actually getting into. Because she already made big promises to Cameron about being so happy we're separating.
Yes. Now she didn't get in there.
And, you know, the closer Curtis and Portia get to each other, the closer Trina comes to finding out who her real father is.
Exactly.
The closer Jordan and Taggart work together to take out Cyrus Renault, probably illegally again.
Maybe.
Maybe Jordan will have another baby.
I don't see why not.
Why not? Let's just say everybody's pregnant in Port Charles. Everybody. Sure. All right, everybody, get back onto that elevator. Okay. Go down to the first floor, and on your way out, get your COVID vaccine. April 15th, anybody over the... Well, in California, April 15th, anybody over the age of 16 can get it. So go.
I get if my you second live in one next Friday on the 9th.
Well, congratulations. I actually already have my first COVID shot as well. My second one's going to be on the... it's in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Hooray for us. All right, everybody, get on the elevator. Go down to the first floor. Get back into your cars. Turn it on. If it's a Tesla, you know, all you got to do is, like, push a button. I'm sure at some point Tesla's going to get to the point in which all you have to do is just, like, think... on and like the car will start. Like, it is wild. I went on a ride in a Tesla the other day and I didn't even know how to open the door. It was weird. It's like this.
Did you really?
You push the button. You just push it. You push the handle and it pops open. It's so weird. You push the handle? Why? Why do you push the handle? Why don't you pull the handle? You push the handle. So weird.
I guess. Yeah.
So weird.
People dig that car, though.
They do. They do. Mm-hmm. They do. It sounds like the Jetsons car when it backs up. Oh, goodness. All right, folks, get back into your cars, turn them on, push the button, however it is that you do it. If it first to start, if it's, if, you know, a mental telepathic just on, then cool, go home. Go grab your significant other or one of your children or your neighbor or someone that is near and dear to your heart. Turn on some old-timey music that Mike Corbin would like and just dance through the dining room a little bit, you know, just you know, just get a little spin, a little dip, and have a good time.
All that.
Go spend some time with your families. I've been Matt.
Yeah. I've been Kat.
And happy Easter, everybody.
And happy Easter. Go hunt some eggs.
Woo!
Bye.
See you next week. Bye.